And we're part of it. And that's the point, that we are part of this story. So turn, please, in the story to chapter 7. The battle begins. And you'll notice an improvement on the PowerPoints. Heather Hildebrand put this together, and we're making progress. So thank the Lord for that. Yeah, I got some feedback that we didn't know. Some of you weren't able to follow, so a different gift set, and we're grateful for that. So next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. We're going to give thanks to the Lord for all circumstances, and in all circumstances, bring friends, bring family. There'll be opportunity to give thanks. Also, Michael and Elsie McCombs will be with us. Now, I will still be speaking on the story, chapter 8, which is about judges, which we looked at last summer, some of the crazy times that were to come. That'll be a briefer message, so that Michael and Elsie, who are the Lord's servants, they're serving with Remember New, a ministry in Thailand that rescues children so they don't get into trafficking, shall we say. And at any rate, they're home. They're in Tekoa. She's had some things going on medically speaking. They're from this area, served in this church. Many of you know them. At any rate, they'll be here as well. And then soon after that, then we will have, I will speak, I think it's the next week, and then we have a young lady, Anna Hilbersma, coming from Mechanicsburg, who is probably she's on her way to becoming a missionary. I had her as a student. I teach an online course at Tekoa Falls College on Alliance Backgrounds in History. Some of you know that. She was amazing. She was an incredible writer. I thought, we're going to be hearing from this girl. She's from Virginia. And then I thought, oh, she's serving now up in Mechanicsburg. And she took a class on storytelling. And she said, oh, finally, I have opportunity to put that into action. So I look forward to, I'll be here for that Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So we look forward to that as well. So at any rate, that is coming. And she will be talking about the faith of a foreign woman. I'd like to pray as we begin. A couple of things in particular I want to pray for. I've heard that David Muir, who is Claire's son, and a chaplain, is sick with COVID and quarantining at home. Also, there's a brother, Darnell Bowman, African-American pastor friend of mine, whom I see every Thursday morning, is sick with COVID and pneumonia on a ventilator over at Wellspan. So let's pray for him as well. And I know there's many that are sick and in and out of quarantine and others just because they're exposed to someone. So let's pray together. Our Lord, we come to you this morning in a war, a physical war, a spiritual war, all kinds of battles, Lord, that you have called us to. Thank you for this brother, Lord, long ago, who was very faithful to his calling. And Lord, we ask that we would be faithful to our calling, that we would receive our battle instructions this morning from you, not from each other, but from you. May we hear your voice this morning through this, your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week was Veterans Day, and we honor those who served. A lot of the war movies that are out there there's these scenes. It starts off with somebody in training camp, and they're learning how to shoot a gun or how to jump from a plane or whatever it is. And everything's going along nicely, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a call to action, and they're on the planes, or they're on the ships, or they're marching to war, and some of those young guys and young gals, they are shaking. Are they ready? And there's a similar thing that goes on among us as God's people. We come on Sunday mornings, we worship the Lord, we study this book, we pray, we care for one another. But then the call to battle comes, and the question is, are we ready? Because sometimes we are shaking. And Joshua had been with a group of people who for 40 years had not been prepared for battle. And now a new generation has come. And he and this new generation are called to battle. He is an older man. He's called to lead the troops. And the question is, will they be ready for battle? Today we have our annual meeting as a congregation. And it's an unusual time for an annual meeting. We are fighting on all fronts in a divided world. We have a presidential election that, of all things, is contested now. And we have a country that's divided all over the place, and even in the church. We have a disease that we're fighting, but then there's questions back and forth as to what is really going on. And then there's all the usual problems, the usual struggles that we have at home and at school and in church and in our world. All of those hot spots and yellow spots that cause problems all along. So what are we doing here? We see that in the true story of Joshua. Our calling we find at the beginning of Joshua, which was read so well for us a few minutes ago, and in the story, chapter 7. And we see it from the very beginning. Some words that are unusual and that really are not very encouraging. The Lord says to Moses, or the Lord says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Joshua says, "Thank you very much." And so we think back to the story. We began with the creation, where everything was created perfectly, and yet an enemy came, and redemption, deliverance was promised, and it was promised through a family that was fathered by Abraham, who was told that his family would glorify the Lord as it expanded to the number of, like the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea. And yet they got so big that they caused trouble in Egypt. And so his son, grandson, Joseph, delivered them from Pharaoh. He delivered them from famine. But then they grew more in Egypt itself, and so Moses came, and Moses delivered them from Egypt once again. And then he taught them how to live. As he went up and received the Ten Commandments, gave them a new command, a new relationship through a covenant with God. But God's people did not want to follow him, and so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. But this man, Moses, now, who led them all of these years, is dead. And so Joshua now receives the command. Earlier on, some spies had gone up to look at the promised land, to look at this new place where God was going to display his glory, and they'd become scared. And so the Lord said, "Okay, you guys are going to wander for 40 years. So Joshua now sent two. He sent them to the promised land. And they went off to spy things out. They went to the city of Jericho, which was kind of the gateway city into the promised land. And they looked for open doors because everything was locked tight because God's people were on their way. And there's one door that was open. Rahab, the lady. A lady of the night, well, just happened to be open. And she just happened to know what was going on with the men in town. And she said, "You know, you guys, I know you're not here for what most come here for." And they said, "You're right." She said, "There's some scuttlebutt about town. There's some talk about town that your God is great and that we ought to be afraid. They are shaking in their boots around here." And she said, "I'll protect you. I want you to hide for a little while. and then go, and I'll let you down out of the back window, and your lives will be saved. And the Lord said to Joshua, you see, I am with you, and I will be with you, just like I was with Moses. They are afraid of you because I am working behind the scenes. I am doing something that you wouldn't believe because I am with you as I was with Moses. Now, Joshua was not a kid at this point. Remember, he had been wandering around for 40 years. But the Lord said that he would be with him, as he had been with his people in the past. And the Lord would glorify himself in this land as he displayed his life, as he called them to display what life with God would be like. And we are called to display a with God life with the people around us. What does life with God look like? Well, it means that we live out those commands. And those commands strengthen our relationship with God. They strengthen our relationship with one another so that we can have peace and we can have joy and we can have hope and we can be upstairs people, not downstairs people, in a downstairs world, a world that keeps trying to call us down into the gutter and say, don't you like it down here? That's the kind of life that the Lord has called us to live. It's life with Jesus. It's life with one another. But the sad thing is that the old Valley View is dead. Not everybody. Some are literally dead. How many were here? Are here this morning that were here at the very beginning? One. Two. Okay, out of, I don't know how many of these were, 1985. The old Valley View is gone. There are some wonderful, wonderful people that were here. Some that are still alive and some that are, Dr. John Stumble, who was the president of our family of churches, was among these who were before us. And they're gone. And so the Lord calls us now to lead because the same God that was with them is with us. The same God that was with those that founded this church and have some stories to tell about days when there was no whole lot, when there were some struggles going on. One after another, Dr. John Stumble, the president of the Alliance, went from here because I think it was his father died very suddenly. And then he went to one church in Minnesota, went to another, served for a long time, and then he got this mysterious disease, very mysterious disease, almost died because of it, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And then the Lord delivered him and healed him. And he became the leader of our family of churches. The same God that was with John is with us. The same God that was with those spiritual mentors of ours is with us. The same God that was with Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Joshua, that same God is with us. And he has called us to display his life everywhere. So the battle that Joshua fought, Joshua's fitting the battle of Jericho as the old Negro spiritual goes, and the Lord fought for them. So what was so unusual about this is that the Lord displayed his presence at the beginning of the army. So you know how he did that. He said, here's who I want you to go at the beginning of the army. Some of you guys are vets. I'm doubting if they sent the chaplains in front. Some of you are laughing. I don't know if I want to know more about that or not. But they said the priests. Now, a priest is more than a chaplain. A priest was one who connected people with God. Remember that we are now the priests of God. But they were to go in the front of the army. And they carried along with them The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant that you made infamous, but not very true, through the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But that big box that displayed the presence of God. That's what was to go first at the head of the army. And so they marched around this pagan city that had refused the Lord and his direction. Once, twice, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. If I was in the army, I'd say, what is this about? You know, I've trained all these years for battle. The priests are leading, and what is this doing? But then on day 7, a reminder of what God had done at the beginning of time, creating everything his way, and everything for the day, for the display of his glory. On day 7, they marched around 7 times. And then Joshua said, okay, shout, because the Lord has given you this city. And they blew the trumpets. And they ran in, and they took everything for the Lord, including Rahab, a picture of his grace. A picture of the Lord's plan to reclaim the nations and the world for himself. It would all be his one day by his grace, not because we deserve it, but because he loves the world. He would give his only son for the world. He would reclaim everything and restore it and make it even better than at the beginning, than the way it was supposed to be. The one who leads our battle is Jesus. And it's his presence among us as the people of God that leads the way. Earlier on, the Lord had appeared to Joshua and said, I want you to choose whom you're going to serve here. I am the leader of this army. I'm the warrior here. Not you. Let me fight for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our leader. He is our warrior. He's our general. He's our chief. He's the one that leads the way. And he does that at Valley View. He does that in the church at large. He does that wherever God's people are, at school, at play, at work, in our world. He is leading the battle. His purposes will stand. He will advance the troops, not because of us, because of him, and because his glory is leading the way as he works among us. It's not our abilities that accomplish anything. Can you imagine how frustrated those soldiers were? Okay, priests, go ahead. You know, and they got their swords, they got their everythings. They were frustrated. But the Lord brought the walls down, not them. They just went in and they cleaned up. They wouldn't even let them take, and then the Lord wouldn't even let them take Rahab. And so the Lord works on our behalf in Helam, in Wrightsville, in Mount Joy, in York, in Lancaster, even on the other side of the river. The Lord works throughout eastern PA. He works throughout our state, our region, our world. The Lord is doing the fighting. The Lord is leading the battle. The Lord is the one that fights for us. And we say, well, man, I'm too old for this. I did my thing. How old do you think Joshua was? All of his friends had died. I remember my grandmother saying to me one day, all my friends are gone. And some of us, our friends, are starting to fall away. Some of them, a lot of friends have fallen away. All of Joshua's friends were gone except for Caleb. How old was he? He'd wandered for 40 years. How old was he? 60 years, 70, 80 years old. He was an old man, and he was leading these young troops. His day was not done. Somebody pointed out that in the Olympics, some of the athletes are getting older. especially some of the skilled sports. And the Olympians they're recognizing that, you know, it's not all about youth. Sometimes it's about experience. And they said, you know, in the Bible, Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, because you're just a kid. They said, maybe we ought to talk to some of those who are on in years and say, don't let anybody look down on you because you are old. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young or because you're old. Because if God's doing the fighting, who cares how old we are? Your best days, your most effective days for the kingdom of God might yet be ahead. It might be things that God is calling you to do, and you say, I can't do this. And the Lord says, okay, I got you just where I want you to be. It might be something, might be some prayers that he's calling you to make. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the kids that we're getting, you know, on Sunday mornings, if every child in our church had a senior prayer, someone that was praying for them every Sunday and every day and praying for their parents and praying for their families. This world that they're in is tough. But what if they had someone praying for them? Maybe it's something about, maybe there's something that God wants you to give. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's resources. Something that God wants you to fund. He's tapping you on the shoulder that would give him great glory. Maybe some place that he wants you to go. I don't know what it is, but could it be that God, that your best years are yet to come and God wants to use you in greater ways than he ever has before? You see, even when our past battles are done, the Lord calls us to commit ourselves to him, to re-up our service and our commitment to him. We see at the end of Joshua, it says, he takes the entire area. It's really pretty amazing what he does. It's not just Jericho. He goes up to Ai. He has a southern campaign, a northern campaign. It's amazing what this army does. And it's not because of their abilities, it's because the Lord is fighting for them. The Lord is fighting for them. God is taking the land. And then he gets to the end of his life. Just like Moses, he says, okay, guys, it's time for you to choose. But he gets and he stands between two mountains. And he says, I want you to choose life, pointing at one mountain, or I want you to choose death. I want you to choose God's way or your way. If you go God's way, he said, then you will be successful in the big picture of life. If you go your way, then you will fail. And you'll fail in the big picture of life. And what's amazing at the end of Joshua is it says that Joshua and his entire generation followed the Lord. They were faithful to him. One of the few generations in scriptures that did that. And God blessed their socks off. The one before them didn't. They wandered and they wandered and they wandered. 40 years all over the wilderness. They knew what death was like there in the desert. The one after them, which we'll look at next week, weren't faithful. They were crazy. They became more like the nations around them. They refused to follow the Lord. Now the Lord was faithful to his side. The story continued because his promise was good. He just waited for another generation to come, and King David would soon come after that. He waited for those who would say, yes, we'll choose life. Yes, we will follow you. The sad thing is that statistically that we are not doing a very good job of following the Lord right now. And I wonder if that's being borne out in what's happening in our world right now. A recent study came out. It says that half of evangelical Christians, that means Christians who believe in this book and believe the basics of the faith like we do. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about basic truths of the Bible, basic Bible-believing Christians, middle-of-the-road evangelicals. They said that half of us believe in no absolute moral truth. This is a professional study that was done. And a third to a half of us believe in non-biblical beliefs. Three quarters of us, for instance, believe that people are basically good. We forget about what happened in the first chapter of the story. We proved what we're not. And in generation after generation after generation, we're not basically good. We got a problem. Ask any parent. Sorry, kids, but our parents learned the same thing. There's a problem that needs correction, and that correction only comes through Jesus. But if a third and a half to us don't believe that there's a problem, we got a problem. And I wonder if a lot of this is true, because two-thirds of us don't read this book every day. Now, the reason we're doing the story is to try and correct that, so that we can get in a habit of reading this book every day, even just a little bit of this book every day, so that we are changed, so that we come more like Christ in the way that we get along with each other, in the way we connect with God, in the way we live out our life, however God has called us, whatever our callings are in life and in the world. The last generation is gone. The Lord's calling us, no matter how young we are or no matter how old we are, to make a fresh commitment to Him. So last week, we made a choice between people that will be leading us nationally and regionally for 4 years. And man, have we had a big mess about that. And did we put a lot of money, a lot of stuff into 4 years? This morning, calling you, calling us to commit to the eternal King who authored this story and will bring it to a conclusion with His reign forever and ever and ever. It's not a choice that those who went before us can make. It's not a choice that our parents can make. It's not a choice that the wonderful leaders of the past in our church and in our lives can make. It's a choice that God's calling us to make. So the first question is, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? It's not about how good you live. Rahab, a woman of the night, showed us that. A beautiful, wonderful story of grace. This is all about grace. We'll talk about that next week. It's all about grace. We don't deserve it. Rahab welcomed the grace of God into her life. And what's amazing about Rahab, the harlot, is that she is in the line of Jesus Christ. An amazing story of God's grace. That's what grace is about. That's where we begin, by making sure that we know Him. If you want help in knowing, making sure that you know Him, talk to us afterwards. Talk to someone that brought you. Go to John's Gospel, read it through. Ask God to speak to you. Make sure that you know Him. But then the next question is, will you serve Him? Maybe this is a question you answered years ago, but God's asking it again. Maybe this is the first time that God is asking you this. Will you give everything to Him? I don't mean did your parents do that, or did those of the past do that in our church? Is that something that somebody else is doing that's out there? No, what about you? What about me? Are we willing to commit everything entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ and give everything to follow Him? You see, it's His story. This story of the whole world is not about us. It's not about living lives centered around ourselves or gratifying ourselves is not, as someone said, it's not about living life, listen carefully, for leisure and the money to enjoy it. That's what we as Americans tend to aim at. That's not what life is about. It's about honoring the Lord. It's about knowing Him. It's about being part of this story, joining into the story and saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be today and tomorrow so that I might honor you as I will for all of eternity by your grace? The reward is that in the big picture of life, as it says in that first of the Psalms, in the big picture of life, we will be fruitful and we will know success. It doesn't mean we'll be rich and famous. That's the American dream. Doesn't mean we'll have two cars in the garage, a dog and a cat, whatever the American dream is about. That's a very temporary story. It does mean that in the big picture of life, that we will be successful with lives that give glory to God. It does mean that in the big picture of life, that we will not be failures who've lived downstairs our whole lives and in the end have nothing to show for it now or forever. Joshua put it this way. As for me and my house, remember, this is an old man talking. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to urge you this morning as we do our closing song. As you stand in a minute, if you're ready to say, yes, I will serve the Lord. I will give Him everything today, tomorrow. Then sing with gusto. As you stand, say, Jesus, I'm making this commitment to you. Won't you bow your heads with me and pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning because you gave everything for us. You left it all behind that we might know you. And Lord, we're grateful to be part of this story. Forgive us, Lord, for living our stories, our short stories, instead of embracing your eternal story and saying, Jesus, I'm all in for you. Lord, may we be all in for you today, tomorrow, until you come or until we see you face to face. Thank you for those who've gone before us. Lord, may we be a generation that says yes and is faithful to you, all of us, Lord, like Joshua's generation was years ago. Thank you, we pray in the name of Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep and our leader in battle. Amen. When you're ready, would you please stand, and Sue, would you come lead us?
Our closing hymn is God is So Good. I God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He's so good to me.
Let's pray. Our Lord, we are amazed. How are you so strong and you are so good? Lord, may we go forward this morning in the strength of Jesus. But Lord, may we go forward in his strength that we may share his love with the world. And Lord, may we so know your love, Lord, that we can't help but be compelled to say yes to you and to live out your life among people that are just dying for love and dying for help. Lord, would you guide us in a few minutes as we gather together to do the business of the church as we do each year. Lord, would you guide us in that? But Lord, as we go forth from here, Lord, would you guide us as we follow you, whatever our callings are, Lord, at school, at work, at play, in the neighborhood, in our community, Lord, may we be a bright light in a dark world because, Jesus, you are working in us through your love and through us by your strength. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, and we will gather here in a few minutes.